Psalm 37, I want to read just a few verses from this psalm. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. I pray that we will, as a people, be able to more fully delight ourselves in you. Bless to that end, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to look at verse 4 this morning in Psalm 37, which simply says to us, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Principally, I want us to zero in on the first part of that text, delight yourself in the Lord. As a small boy, I recall going to bed at night to await the arrival of Santa Claus. This was a yearly ritual in our house. And when I got up in the morning, to my delight, I would find a tree in the living room fully decorated. And under that tree, and for some distance around that tree, would be many, many packages decorated in many different colors. And I remember one morning when I got up to peek into the living room, I remember finding an electric train circling that tree. And it was to my delight that I found that. In seminary, it was a great delight for us to go to Disneyland. I was in California. Disney World now is in Florida. But that long ago, we went to Disneyland in California. And I remember one of the rides that we would go on. It was called It's a Small World. And I really liked that ride because of all the animatronics that were involved in that. And it was a great delight for us to go there. When I was in Vietnam, it was a great delight for me to go to Saigon to a clean, cool, air-conditioned restaurant that was served by Americans. It really was a delight to do that. And it was also a great delight, I remember this very well, for me to get on an airplane in Saigon and fly to Hawaii for a week or 10 days of leave to meet Irma. What a delight it was. Is it a delight for you to come before the living God in worship? Is that one of the great delights of your life? The text this morning in Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." I think that's something that we need to learn to do. I know it's something I need to learn to do. It's interesting to me because it seems to me that we really do act in accordance with what really does delight us. And so I want us to talk about this a little bit this morning. In our text, we find this word delight. And we can rehearse quickly, it seems to me, several synonyms for this word. One of them might be pleasure. Do you take pleasure in the Lord? If you're like me, you take pleasure in your family. As Irma and I reflected on our family this week, we found that this was one of the first times that our family was in four different places at once. And we were contemplating the different places our family members were in and thinking about the different things that they were doing. And as we thought about them, we were delighting in them. We were taking pleasure in them. Delight means happiness, real joy. Rapture is another word which the Bible uses. Ecstasy. Bliss. Gladness, exaltation. These are all words that have to do with the same subject. Delight yourself in the Lord. As we contemplate that this morning, I wonder what you really take pleasure in. What do you delight in? If you're like me, as I look at you this morning, one of the things that you really take delight in, I know many of you are this way, you take delight in your family, don't you? In your children. Or, as some of you, in your grandchildren. Or some of you, in your great-grandchildren. What a pleasure it is. In this world, we take real delight in many different things. When I was in Florida this past week, Ray McCracken, who's the associate pastor in our church in Orlando, was defending his trophy for fishing. And several fellows went out fishing. They wanted me to go, but I don't take as much delight in fishing as these guys do. And so they were out fishing, and Ray was defending his trophy because he takes such delight in displaying that trophy to others. And it's really an amazing thing. Some of you take delight in farming. Now, I don't entirely understand that, but some of you really do take delight in farming. I can understand it to an extent. But there are other things that we take delight in too. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because our delights, what we really enjoy, tend to lead us. If we love baseball, we go to baseball games. When I was in Orlando this past week, some of the folks wanted us to go to a baseball game. And the reason they wanted us to go to a baseball game is because Michael Jackson was playing. And they were taking delight in that sort of thing. That wasn't my bag. And so I didn't go to that baseball game. But it's true, isn't it, that we find delight in many different things. Some of us even find delight in reading the Bible. I mean real delight in doing it. And we love to ply the pages of that book. It seems to me that our delights tend to lead us in one of two different directions, basically. And this is a generality, I realize it. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6, we see one of the avenues in which our delights may lead us. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruits and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Here that fruit was a delight to the eyes of Eve, and she took it, and it was sumptuous as she related to it, and it was irresistible, and so that's where she was. And she gave that fruit to Adam, and he ate. We have the same sort of thing, it seems to me, in the bumper stickers which say, "I'd rather be fishing." And a lot of people this morning take delight in fishing. They'd rather be fishing than being in the house of God with God's people. Or, "I'd rather be flying." Some people are enthusiasts along that line. "I'd rather be skiing." You've seen the bumper stickers. This is the kind of thing that was taking place in the garden. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, she went for it. And she ate of that fruit. It didn't matter whether or not that was contrary to the desires of God. Her delight, her desire, was centered on her own appetites. And that's how it is with us very often. Isn't that the case? Then we see another side of it. Look at Psalm 1. We sang from this psalm just moments ago. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Here's the other side of the same coin. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Here is the way of the believer. Here's the real test. His delight. It's a delight for us to ply the pages of the Bible, because we not only take delight in the Word of God, but we take ultimate pleasure in the Lord God Himself. He is our delight and our pleasure. Is that really true? Is that where we are? It seems to me that this means to be happy about God, to be happy in the living God, to be happy with God. And I'm not just talking here about kind of a frothy, effervescent kind of thing. When I was a teenager in high school, we used to love to visit a root beer stand. And it was one of these root beer stands where you went, you know, and they took the mug out of the freezer and it was all frosty. And then they filled that mug up with root beer and there was a big head of froth on the top of it. I see a couple of you nodding and smiling. You know what I'm talking about. Used to love to go to that place. You can't get that sort of thing anymore, it doesn't seem. At any rate, that head, which you blow that head off, that was just the froth, right? the temporary joy. And that's how it is with some of us. It's temporary. The joy is temporary. This is how it was with the parable in Matthew 13. The joy of the disciple was only temporary, but when the cares of this world would come along, then that joy was lost. I remember in Vietnam, shortly after I was converted to faith in Christ, actually it was in Korea, after I was converted to faith in Christ, the chaplain who presented me the gospel and led me to Christ saw me and he said to me, "Denny, what's the matter? Did you lose your joy?" And I told him it wasn't a particularly great day, but no, I hadn't lost the deep sense of joy that I had in being a Christian and knowing Jesus Christ. And there's a difference, isn't there, between that froth on the root beer and the deep joy that we have in knowing Jesus Christ. The psalmist says in Psalm 37 and in verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord." What is he talking about? Is it in Jesus Christ? Is it in the Lord ultimately that we find the root of our satisfaction? What is the human being's chief end in this life? What is it? What is man's chief end? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Isn't that something? To find our ultimate rest and joy in Him, to exalt in Him. That's what worship's all about. And literally, when we come together in our times of worship, we are to experience a taste of heaven. And worship is to be our delight. You know what? We've got a problem. And the problem is that for too many of us, it seems that our times of worship together are not really so much a delight as a time when we come together because that's what we're supposed to do. And then when that hour is over, we can get on with the delights of life. And I'm really struck by that. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Our text this morning is Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Is that what we're about? Is that what our worship concerns? A delight in the Lord? Look at me, if you would, at Psalm 37, or I'm sorry, 73. And verses 21. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast taken hold of my right hand. With thy counsel thou wilt guide me. Afterward, receive me to thy glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, thou who art far from thee will perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Is that where we are? You know, folks, in worship, it does seem that a profound meeting with God is possible. And in that meeting, we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. I wonder if that is where we find our delight. Let me put it this way. Isaiah talks about seeking the Lord. He talks about seeking the Lord while he may be found and calling upon him while he is near. And in that construction, it seems to me that Isaiah is saying to you and to me that our ultimate delight, our ultimate satisfaction, our ultimate joy is in the Lord our God. Proverbs says, turning the picture around, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Those of us who are fathers understand, it seems to me, how it is we can delight literally in our children. And in the same way, our children can find delight in things that we do for them and delight in each one of us. And this is the picture that the psalmist is presenting to us. Delight yourself in the Lord. I put it this way, that if we are to find satisfaction in the Lord and to find real delight in the Lord, it seems to me that we're going to have to shift gears a little bit. Suppose, think with me about this now. Suppose you are 1/100 of 1% sanctified. Suppose that you are 1/100% of the way down the road. You know what most of us think? Most of us think that we're a lot further down the road than that. We suppose that, maybe we're 85% sanctified. Or at least 50%, right? Suppose that the level of sanctification is 1/100 of 1%. And as you think about it, you know that you have a certain joy in Jesus Christ. I know that's true for me. Imagine 100 times that joy in Jesus Christ. 1% sanctification. 1,000 times that joy you have in Jesus Christ is 10% sanctification. You know what? Well, most of us are, and I really think this is the case for me. Some of you are going to say amen. It's down to the level of 1,000th of 1% sanctification. And when I contemplate that and think about it, I realize that Jesus Christ can give great joy. We have just a small taste of who He is. And even with that minute taste of who He is, there is great delight. That's what gets to me. And we have so much more to look forward to. I'm reminded of going into Baskin Robbins and getting just that little bitty teaspoon, that little bitty spoon of ice cream. And you know why they give you that little bitty spoon of ice cream, right? Give you that little bitty taste. So you'll go for more. And usually you do if you're like me. Part of the problem we have today is the fact, I know this is a problem with me, I have an inflated estimate of how much God has done in my life. I think it's a lot more than it actually is. And when I contemplate the fact that I'm down to the 1/10 of 1% level, and I understand the richness of that 1/10 of 1%, I understand better how much further God wants to take me. Delight yourself in the Lord, the psalmist says. We've got just a little bitty taste of it, folks. And there is so much more there. I think the other thing we have to understand in all of this is that this delight is an end in itself. Let me try and tell you what I mean. To have full satisfaction in God, you don't delight in the Lord in order to get something else. You follow me? That joy is the end in itself. That relationship with God is the end in itself. And He is not a stepping stone to something greater, something better, something bigger. And I submit to you that if you desire something else, satisfaction is not being found in the living God the way it ought to be. The person who uses pornography, for instance, or enters an affair, is not fully satisfied with the relationship he or she has
with a spouse. And when we look at our relationship with God, we are to come with a satisfaction and a fullness in Him. Delight yourself in the Lord, the psalmist says. I wonder where we are with this. I look at Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses had a wonderful taste of the power and the glory and the grace of God on Mount Sinai. And you know, Moses had one plea before God when he had a taste of Him. Do you remember what that one plea was? Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. That's where we should be. I know that's where I need to be. And I want to see, this is a heartfelt desire on my part, folks. I want to see us as a church be a people who simply come together to delight ourselves in the Lord. I really want to see that. Not as a stepping stone to something else. That is, not as a stepping stone to a better job or a better relationship with someone else, but simply as an end in itself. Delight yourself in the Lord. I think that's one of the things God is calling us to. I'm going to ask you to pray about that. I'm going to ask you to pray for me about that. Because I think something profound can happen in our midst if we place this as a priority. It seems to me if we place this as a priority that some of the division within the church will melt away. That some of the anxieties that we have in our families may not go away, but they'll dissipate. And I think something else profound can happen. I think we can see a church literally revolutionized if we come together with a simple desire to delight ourselves in the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you to think about that and ponder that. I'm going to ask you to make it a priority as we're together as a people. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for Your love and care of us in Jesus Christ. I thank You, Father, for the families that You've given us, for the loved ones that surround us. And I pray, Father, that You'd be pleased to so work in our hearts and lives that we would be individuals and that we would be a body, which literally does delight in You. I pray that You'd work in us to that end. And I pray, Lord, that You'd show us in vital and intimate ways how this can make a difference, not only in our lives and in our church life, but in the world in which we live and work. So I pray that You'd bless us to this end. And I pray, Father, that the words, "Delight yourself in the Lord," would be a reality in each one of our lives. Bless to that end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.